All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verse 31 and 32. We'll go ahead and put the slide up there. Battling bitterness. Battling bitterness is what I want to talk to you about today. And obviously, I want to learn how to win that battle. Okay, because many of us, I think, are defeated by it. But anyway, before that, I think I've told you this before, but as a kid, I loved The Wizard of Oz. We got any Wizard of Oz fans in here? Anybody? Okay, I like it. And which is kind of weird, because I'm not a big musical guy, and I don't think I realized that that was really a musical growing up. But it is, okay? Because I don't really enjoy the sound of music and things like that. That's more my sister's type of thing. But I did. I can still watch it today. I mean, I really like it, the whole movie. I mean, but we know that Dorothy is going down the Yellow Brick Road, and we know that she finds some company, a scarecrow to begin with, and he had no brain, and then the Tin Man, who didn't have a heart. And then they're off. Like many of you today in life, they're off. And they were going down the Yellow Brick Road, and things were going good, and everything was going great until they reached the forest. Once they reached the forest, it then dawned on them that the forest was full of lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. So they begin to proceed through the forest. They begin to sing lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and they kept singing, it kept getting faster till a lion jumps out. And we know that whole scene, I like that scene, it's one of my favorite ones with the lion and him starting to cry and all that. And so what's your point in telling that? Where in life, we're going to enter some forest, but they're not filled with lions and tigers and bears. No, they're filled with something much, much worse. It's filled with animals named bitterness, anger, and wrath. And filled with, this forest is filled with resentment and grudges. And they are there to attack you and to destroy you. But there's a problem. Bitterness, resentment, grudges are invisible. And they come from inside of yourself. You can't slap them like Dorothy did the lion. And make him cry. And neither are they as wimpy as the lion was. No. Bitterness and resentment are a mighty foe. And they will destroy you. And destroy the relationships around you. And it will greatly hinder your relationship with Christ. I said this last week about our speech, and we're talking about no corrupt communication, and I said that this is why I believe revival will begin, and I believe that they know that, by the way, revival for God's people. I want you to remember that. I mean, I love salvation, but revival is for God's people. When God's people get right with God, then we'll have revival. And I think another obstacle to the average Christian to having revival is bitterness. I think it runs rampant more than we like to admit. Make no mistake. Bitterness is no joke. Bitterness will make your life miserable. You've heard the saying, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Yet many of us. I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about anyone outside. I'm not talking about another church. I'm talking about us. Many of us are spiritually and emotionally hindered because we won't let go of bitterness. Many of us are like the man, his name is Seymour Hicks. And it was in London, I believe, and it was a New Year's Eve. And a friend had asked Seymour to reconcile with a fellow member, a friend. Like many people, they had a fight and they wouldn't talk to each other. It had been some many years, and after some encouragement and prodding, Seymour finally gave in and crossed the room and spoke to the person who he didn't like and said, "I want to wish you a happy new year, but only one year." I think that's how a lot of us are. I don't think this man overcame bitterness, but he was overcome with bitterness. And today I want to look here at how to overcome it. Because I do think that it's one of them things that's not spoke on, and we said it something in Sunday school. We got the Ten Commandments. We know them are sin. And we need to preach them, and we need to stand firm on that. But I think a lot of these things we don't address. And it needs to be addressed because it's going to hinder us if we don't. But let's not judge that man too harshly because we struggle with this sin. Just like the sin of our speech, many believers are struggling with bitterness more than they would like to admit. And it's a sin that needs highlighting. And I kind of got ahead of myself, but it's a sin that I do believe that to have revival, God's people need to repent of. Or bitterness will not go away. You heard to say, no matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. Here's the thing, you will face a forest full of bitterness and anger and wrath. But to be successful, to get through that, you need the Word of God. You need a direction from the Word of God to have the direction and power to overcome bitterness that you're going to be faced with. Because here's the thing. If you're not bitter, and that's a good, if you're not, I hope you're not. But if you are, or if you're not, then you're going to be faced with that. You're going to be faced with it. So I want to tackle that. So let me just ask you before we get started. Are you bitter today? I want you to look inside yourself. I want you to evaluate your life and say, am I bitter? Or are you defeated by bitterness? Or are you overcome with bitterness? Then listen up. Because that's exactly what we're going to look at. Look at chapter 4 and verse 31. And it said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We'll read the next verse later. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I do, just like last week, Lord, I do think that this is something that is very needed. I think it's something that I know I'm guilty of, and we'll get to that, and we'll get into what bitterness means. But Lord, I ask you to help each person here, Lord, to look at their life, Lord, and it could be something serious. I mean, there are some things that because of sinfulness of mankind, and there's some things that people in this room have had to deal with and they should have never had to deal with. And it hurt. And we're going to talk about that. But Lord, help them to realize that the answer to that is not bitterness. Lord, help. Lord, it may be something that's not that big of a deal. But Lord, the devil has allowed that to grow and they become bitter over something that they should have let go of. Lord, I don't know what it is. It could be major, it could be minor, but it doesn't really matter. But Lord, if they have the root of bitterness in their lives, Lord, I ask you to help them to repent of that today. And Lord, if someone's here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I ask you to also, as we look at this, that they can realize that they can be forgiven of their sins as well. In Christ's name, amen. To overcome bitterness, number one, let's look here at the temptation of bitterness. Letter A here, and it's really kind of an introduction point, but the reality of all. You know what the reality is? Forget it from the front to the back, from left to right, you will be hurt. You will be hurt, And you probably have been hurt. It doesn't take long of living a life to be hurt by someone, or something, or some situation. On you this morning, if you haven't already, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you will be mistreated by those who love you. You will be mistreated by those who you trust. You'll be mistreated by those who you don't like. You'll be mistreated by unsaved, and you'll be mistreated by the saved. You'll be mistreated. It's probably one of the worst ones. You'll be mistreated by people who mean well. Now, you say, that's tough. Because I've been in situations like that, and you still love them, but they meant well, or maybe you just have the cookie crumbled in just a situation, but we get that we'll be mistreated by that. We'll be mistreated by people by accident. But here's the thing, people are going to laugh at you. People are going to lie about you. People will say mean things. People will harm you. They're going to cheat you. They'll steal from you. They'll break promises. There will be people that will hurt you. No matter the intention, no matter the degree. But I think sometimes we think there's got to be something really bad for it to be bitterness. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter the degree. No matter what it is, it hurts. That's a reality. I want you to know that. That's a reality, and we've got to face that, because that's where bitterness starts. And when something happens to us, it hurts us. And then we don't know how to respond. And here's some examples in the Bible to back this up. In the Old Testament, I talk about Job. Friends hurt Job with their accusations. David was mistreated by Saul. Esau was mistreated by his own mother and brother. That's pretty bad there. Jacob was mistreated by his father-in-law. Jacob mistreated his son by showing extreme favoritism to Joseph. You know, we all know we're wrong. The brothers did wrong. But you ever thought it all started with Jacob? He showed extreme favoritism to Joseph. That wasn't right. That hurt them sons. That's where it all started, to be honest with you. Joseph was hurt by his own brothers. In the New Testament, Jesus was mistreated. The apostles were mistreated. Paul was mistreated. We're all mistreated. And it hurts. And it can take years. It can take years to get over something. It can take years. And I want to read a verse in Proverbs 18:19. Just kind of illustrates just the realness of it and how hard it is. Because I'm not. This morning, as we approach this, I want to approach it sympathetically. Still sin. We're going to talk about that. But let me just read what it says here. It says here, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You say, when you get hurt by someone, when someone hurts you, it is easier to win a strong city than it is to reconcile with that person, which tells me something. This concept of bitterness is tough. It's a tough sin. Which is one of the reasons I don't think we preach on it. Because it's tough. I mean, it may be one of the toughest things to deal with in your life. Bitterness. Here's where the temptation can set in. You get hurt. You get offended. And you will be tempted to become bitter. That's just human nature. Like many other sins, your flesh wants to be bitter. You will be tempted to become bitter. And James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When you get hurt, your desire, your lust will entice you. Lust is means we only think about lust as sexual lust, but lust is just a fleshly desire. You can lust over food. You can say, I want your stuff. So your lust, your desire, your flesh, when you get hurt, and that you're going to be tempted to become bitter at whoever wrongs you. And by the way, it's not wrong to be tempted, it's wrong to give in to temptation. We're going to be tempted. Sadly, many people who get hurt can't withstand the temptation. They give in. So let it be here. Here's the reaction of many. Render evil for evil. No, the reaction when someone hurts us, our reaction is, if someone hurts me, then I'm going to hurt them back. I'll do whatever they did. If they slap me, I'm going to slap them back. If they talk about me, then I'm going to talk about them. I love the episode on Andy Griffin, where Obi is being threatened to be blackballed. Y'all remember that episode? And what does Barney do? Barney says, you fight fire with fire. We do the same thing. When someone mistreats us, we think that we've got to fight fire with fire. And you know what our choice of fire is? Bitterness. Oh, we're too diplomatic, Brother Daryl, to someone do something to us to just slap them out. And that's what we want to do. We want to do because we know better. We know how to make the, as a Pharisee, we know how to paint the outside, right? But on the inside, we can be full of dead bone. And we know, oh, we can't do that. So what we do, if we fight fire, they use them evil, and we use them evil back to them, we think, and that is bitterness. The problem, it doesn't work. I mean, how dumb is that, what Barney said? Fight fire with fire. Well, I mean, actually, kind of Keenan can burn off a spot, technically. But you don't fight fire with fire. What ain't you say? You fight fire with what? A water hose. Sadly, me and them are trying to fix the hurt that has been done to us through bitterness. And it doesn't work. Plus, it's wrong. 1 Peter 3:9 said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but underline blessing, known that ye are therefore called that you should inherit a blessing. We're not supposed to render evil for evil. But that's what happened when we're mistreated, okay? Someone mistreats me, that's evil. Then what happens? We respond with bitterness, which is evil. This morning, I want you to know we're all faced with a temptation to become bitter. Because of that, we need to know how to overcome it when we're not overcome with it. To do that, number two, we need to look here at the truth about bitterness. That's really it. We got to look here, and because just like, you know, we the Word of God is the light, and we've got to shine God's Word on this topic of sin, of bitterness. Because here's the thing, I don't think, see, well, again, we like to say adultery and all these things, we like to put them up here, but the average Christian, in my opinion, and including myself, we don't think bitterness belongs up there. But it does. It does. We need to see the truth of what we really do. And we let the devil, we let the world tell us that it's really not that big of a deal. But it is. It is. It's a very big deal. And it says here in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and even wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, letter A here. And here's the first truth. It's easy. Bitterness is easy. I mean, I can go into all the reasons, but it ain't easy to be bitter. Because here's why. It's what you naturally want to do. I've said this, and I've explained it many times, but I'm going to say it again. When you get saved, you still have to battle the flesh. You still have a lust to do what is bad. You know, I've said this in Galatians, I think we're at that. And then when you get saved, the power and penalty of sin is gone. And you're a new creature. But you will not be completely sanctified until you get to heaven. Until then, you're going to have to deal with the flesh. You're going to have to deal with your sin nature. Because 1 John tells us that we must confess our sins. Because we're still going to sin. And you're going to have a battle. Your sin nature will not be done away with until we get to heaven. And that means we have to battle our flesh. And your flesh wants to be bitter. And by the way, am I the only person that knows this? It's easy to let your flesh do what it wants. How easy is it to get in the flesh? I was telling Brother Son, I'm not going to tell you what I did. It wasn't terrible, but it really convicted me. And just, I was somewhere, it was a little bit of tension, and it's so easy just to get in a tood, ain't it? You know, like that, just a tood. I mean, I can get in a tood. I mean, I can fight fire with fire. And I walked away, and it wasn't no big deal or nothing, but it's just like, it was with the Holy Spirit. It's so easy. The same thing with bitterness. No one has to teach you to be bitter. No one has to teach a kid to hold a grudge, do they? Did anybody sit down and say, all right, class, we're going to teach you how to be bitter? No. No, it comes natural. It's easy. That's the truth. You got to know that. The readers in our text were struggling with bitterness. Verse 31 says this, all bitterness. What is bitterness? Well, it reflects a smoldering resentment, a brooding grudge-filled attitude. Okay, that's very important. And we'll get something here in a minute. That's all I want to insight. It's an attitude. It's a spirit of irritability that keeps a person in a perpetual animosity, making him sour and venomous. Did that describe you concerning someone? And if there's someone in your life that when they come up or you see them, it creates a spirit of irritability that keeps a perpetual animosity and makes you sour? I'll say it in a not so technical tongue. And if there's someone who you just can't speak good about, that makes you sour, that makes you grumble, that you just, that's bitterness. Like I said last week about corrupt speech, we're probably more guilty of bitterness than we think we are. We probably are more guilty of bitterness than we realize. Well, it doesn't stop there. And I put this, when you define it that way, I'm guilty. The next one here, it says here in verse 31, it says, and let all bitterness and wrath, okay? Wrath is a rage and intense desire, okay, on the inside. You have an intense dislike for someone? Do you have a desire when you think of someone? Well, you may be guilty of wrath. And then it says an anger. This is a deep feeling of internal smolder. Oh, it's just boiling right below the surface. This is what these believers were struggling with. And there's a good chance you're struggling with it too. Because here's the reason. It's easy to become bitter. It comes natural. Let it be here. It will be evident. Bitterness is an inner sin. Bitterness, wrath, and anger are all inner sin. All of them describe the spirit, feeling, attitude, okay? So that's all on the inside and inner. But it doesn't stay on the inside. That's the thing about bitterness. It doesn't stay on the inside. John also said this. If not checked, or anger or inner sin or bitterness, wrath, and anger will inevitably lead to the outward sin of clamor, evil speaking, and other manifestations of malice. Bitterness is an inner sin that will manifest itself. First one there, clamor means this. An outcry or shout visibly. Verbal abuse. Let me just give you some ideas of what that word means. Complaining. Harsh words. So we kind of take the spin off of last week. And just someone, you always have something harsh or negative to say to them. And if there's someone who you ignore or won't speak to or give a cold shoulder to, the good chant, this comes for bitterness. Because here's why bitterness doesn't stay on the inside. Bitterness will manifest itself. So really, right now, if you're somebody who you can't talk to, someone who you talk bad about, and to them, and a good chance that's your answer. You are bitter, and that shows it. And by the way, the person who you're bitter at probably knows better than you that you're bitter at them. Anybody like that? You know, you probably know someone in your life who's bitter at you. You know why? Because bitterness is evident. It'll show up. It's not going to stay on the inside. So that's a good chance that like that, if there's someone you can't go talk to, and I know we don't always like everybody. We like everybody. You know, even we have to tolerate some people. But you know what I mean. Because bitterness will always manifest itself in how you treat them. And it says here, evil speaking. That means slander, okay? We talked about that last week. And it says things that will damage a person's reputation. What you say about a certain person reveals if you're bitter at them. When you're bitter at someone, you will not say good things when their name comes up. I'm guilty of that. Now, I wouldn't stand there in the pulpit and say it, but there's people whom I'm close to, when somebody's name comes up, I don't have anything good to say about them. And if you're real close to me, and the topic come up more than one, then you know, oh, here he goes again. That's bitterness. That is bitterness. That's bitterness. Man, I've gotten people in my life like that. I've been hurt. I've been done wrong. And some of it's just people who annoy me. And some of it's little things, some things, big things. Some of it on purpose. Some might have been unintentional. But still, that's where I'm at. There's people, when I see them, I hear their name, I see them, when they walk away, I speak evil of them. I don't have anything good to say. And let me tell you something. It says there, put away bitterness. And it says, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. This is the evidence. This is the outward. Your evil speaking. It will reveal to you who you're bitter at. Let me ask you something. Are you bitter? How do you treat that person when you see them? Are you rude to them? Do you ignore? That's the thing. We've learned by the Sunday enough to know that, well, we can't say bad things, right? If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all, right? But are you rude to them? Do you ignore them? Do you give them a cold shoulder? I mean, I guess that's a start. I guess that's better than saying something mean to them. But how do you treat that person? Hey, what do you say about that person when they walk away? Do you speak negative of them? Do you speak evil of them? Then let me tell you something. That is bitterness in a nutshell. But you know why? We don't want to define it that way. Because if we define it that way, we're all guilty. Probably we like to say, well, you know, people are bitter, but well, that's not me, though. Probably is. The truth about bitterness is it is easy, it will be evident, and then let us see here, it is evil. It is evil. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's a sin. You know, well, how do you know this? I mean, Gene, it doesn't take a rocket science, does it? And I'm no rocket science, right? I'm no rocket science scientist. I think it says here, it's going to blow your mind away. Let all bitterness, and it says, be put away from you. And he says, quit doing that. He says, quit having an internet, about people. He says, quit talking evil of them. Put that away. You know what that tells me? It's evil. But hey, it goes a step further than that. And he says this. With all malice. He says, what does that mean? Well, it means evil. It means depravity. What Paul is saying here, Paul says, put away all anger, bitterness, and wrath. And then what he really means there is all other types of evil. So he's saying, put away anger, put away bitterness, put away evil speaking. And while you're putting them away, put away evil speak, or excuse me, malice. Which is all any other type of evil. Anything else you got in your life is evil, get rid of it too. Well, that tells me something else. If bitterness is leading the way of that group, then guess what? Bitterness is evil. Paul classifies bitterness as evil. And here's the thing. I think some of us know we're guilty of it, but we won't call it what it is. It's a sin. It's a sin. Don't talk to me about someone else you know or something that we like to, you know, all the other sins that we like to harp on. that we think we're not guilty of. Hey, let's talk about this one. This is what the church needs to repent of. I mean, well, I'm not even going to go around. Y'all don't be, y'all don't have a vocal group, but I know I can preach on certain sins that get more amens than this. But this is what we need today to have revival. We need to get this sin out of our life because it is evil. It is evil to be bitter towards someone. It is evil when you run them down. When you're rude and ugly to them, it's evil. But I don't think we see that, Brother Darryl, do we? No, so we think, hey, let me talk. Come on. Hey. We don't see that. That's evil. That's evil. That is, no, yes. Yes, that's just evil. And any of the gross sin that we like to name is evil. And God's people need to get that through your minds. I mean, it just is. I mean, what, not long ago on Sunday, a Wednesday night, we talked about the one verse to greet one another. How we talk about how you're supposed to greet one another. That's a command. We're supposed to be nice to people. Well, bitterness does the opposite. It's evil. Like when you're ugly, when you run people down, when you ignore them, that's evil. And the first step in overcoming bitterness is to tell the truth about it. And it's a sin that is easy to commit that you cannot keep a secret. That is. Now, you might keep a secret from me. But I get you, I bet you everybody in your circle knows who you're bitter at. I've got friends, and right now I can almost name you every friend I know. There's someone that they're bitter at. You know why? Because they talk about them. Right, and same thing for me. That's bitterness. That's bitterness. It's a sin that's all so, I mean, and I say it with compassion. It's easy to commit. And you cannot just keep a secret. And it will harm you and the ones around you. We see the temptation of bitterness. We see the truth about bitterness. And then number three, let's look at the teaching to overcome. The teaching to overcome bitterness. Okay, now we get to verse 31. Verse 31 says, "And be ye kind one to another." So right there, like, just like, if you don't believe me about being rude and cold to people, then out there, that right there, that proves you're wrong. It is wrong to be rude and stuck up to people. Yeah, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, first thing that you've got to do to overcome bitterness is letter A here, is trust God's promise. Okay, now we're going to take this a little bit of a detour here, but I want to, what is God's promise? Romans 12, 19 through 21. Listen to this. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself." So what do we do when we get mad at someone? They hurt. Oh, back up. When someone hurts you, you want to get even, don't you, Brother Tim? Okay, yeah, he's paying attention today. I made eye contact. Well, no, we do. Well, no, in all seriousness, when someone hurts us, we want to get back. We want to get even. And that's where bitterness sets in. But God says this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give into place, neither give place unto wrath. For it is written," don't get bitter, "it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I mean, here's the reason that we give into bitterness sometimes is we don't think God will take care of the wrong that's done to you. Now, if something's criminal, if someone breaks into the house, call the cops, okay? I'm not talking about that, okay? But when someone does something that's out of your control, or even in your control, God's going to take care of it. God is going to handle it. I mean, it could be something serious. Something seriously wrong has been done to you. But yet God is going to take care of it. See, here's the problem with revenge. First of all, God promised to get revenge. Here's the problem with revenge. Matt Lucado said if revenge builds a lonely house, space enough for one person, the lives of its tenant are reduced to one goal, make someone miserable. They do themselves. They do themselves. No wonder God said in Hebrews 12:14, look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. No, it's a problem. Don't. Revenge is going to lock you up. Bitterness is going to trap you. Trust God's promise. He is going to take care of it. Here's the proof. I can't get into long details about this. But Genesis 38. I don't know if you ever paid attention to Genesis 38. But you know how they go from Joseph to Judah? You know, okay, and what, you know, a whole chapter on Judah and his misfortune. I know who kind of alluded to this. I can't really get into detail just because of sake of time. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. Then what our author said, Judah, as it turned out, had his own descent into a pit. After Joseph's abduction, Judah went to have three sons. The first one was to marry a girl named Tamar, and she died. Oh, he died. The second one married her, and he died. And he forbidden the third one to marry. So he threw Joseph in a pit, and then later his two sons died. Later, Judah slept with that lady. You know, got tricked, thought she was a prostitute, which is a whole other issue there. Had a child, and guess what? Now he got to live with that shame. So let me read you what Max Lucado said about this. Things have come full circle. Judah had deceived Jacob, was deceived by a prostitute. Judah, who had trapped, was trapped. Judah, who had helped humiliate Joseph, was humiliated. Okay, and I said, I don't have time to flesh all that out, but go back and read that chapter. Joseph didn't have to get revenge. God took care of it, didn't he? Oh! But Joseph don't know anything about this, does he, Brother Mark? He's in Egypt. He's probably sitting there thinking, Judah got off scot-free. No, he didn't. God promises to take care of what's done wrong to you. You don't have to take it into your own hands. You don't have to resort to bitterness. You don't have to resort to getting revenge, because God is going to take care of you. To overcome bitterness, you're going to have to trust God to do what He promised you to do, and He'll take care of the situation. He guaranteed to take care of the situation. He guaranteed right retribution. The problem is we give too much or too little. But the God of justice has a precise prescription. And He will take care of it. Now it may not be on this side, it may be on Judgment Day, or it may be now. God will take care of who has wronged you. Trust God's promise. That's how you're going to overcome bitterness. Trust God's promise. I'm going to be here. I'm going to wrap it up. We're going to get done on time. I went long last week. Can't do that, right? But I can't do that 2 weeks in a row. So I'm trying. I cut out a big illustration. I want the whole page. We're going to get done pretty close on time. Obey God's precepts. Verse 31, we see here the precepts. Now, what we basically do is replace the evil nature desire, natural desire, with supernatural action. And you know, and here's the thing. Brother Mike, a lot of times we want some type of Red Sea crossing event. You know what I mean? We want some type of mind-blowing, you know, instructions. You know, we don't want the doll and the ABC and the 1, 2, 3. We want something real, don't we? We want something. You know what God does here? He doesn't do that. He don't give, you know, then what he says, ready? Number one. Be kind-hearted one to another. Be kind one to another. Be kind. That's a command. That's a precept. Like, if you want to overcome bitterness, what you need to do is you need to start being kind to people. I mean, there's really nothing. There's no word study to study there. I mean, there probably is, but there's nothing. It's not profound. It's pretty basic. Just be kind to people. That's what you need to do. Number two, Be tender-hearted. Be compassionate. That's the person. What you need to do is be compassionate. And then, let us see how it works. Excuse me, not mine. Forgiving. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving. I have some tough news. There's no exception. You're not the exception of this. Now, what we have to do is go do this. And the reason I say that about the Red Sea is somebody pointed out about Joseph that, you know how he saved the nation, Brother Daryl? He said, save food in 7 years and redistribute it in the next 7. That was real basic, wasn't it? There was no wow factor to that. There was no holding up a stick and parting the Red Sea or the Jordan. No, it wasn't nothing amazing. It was just a simple, basic, get up in the morning and save that corn and then later get up and ration it out. There was nothing profound about that. But it saved a nation. It saved a whole human race. The same thing today. These 3 things, they're not anything really profound. Oh, but they are. That's what God wants us to do. And here's the thing. We don't need anything complicated. Because if you're like me, I can't do these too well. Anybody want to testify? So, to overcome bitterness, you have to obey God's principle. You have to go out today and say, hey, the person I don't like for 10 years, or the person I don't like after seeing them for 10 minutes, I need to be kind to that person. I need to be tender-hearted, and I need to be forgiving. And you know how we do that? By remembering what we are. Oh, he doesn't stop there. Look at verse 32 again. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be kind to one another, for Christ has forgiven you. No one has treated you as bad as you've treated Christ. I mean, no one's crucified me yet, have they, you, Brother Mark? No, but all sin crucified Jesus. No one has treated you as bad as you have treated Christ. Yet, Christ didn't get bitter. He was what? He was kind. He was kind when Peter put his foot in his mouth right before he knew he was going to deny him. He was forgiving. He was tender-hearted. Hey, let's do the same. Let's do the same. Oh, I'm glad you're not competing in 5 sins on your list. I'm happy. Oh, but let's put this on the list. Let's go out and do this today. For you to overcome the sin of bitterness, you're going to have to trust God's promises and obey His precepts. Let me ask you in conclusion. Is there someone you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive a spouse? Do you need to forgive an ex-spouse? Do you need to forgive a mother? Do you need to forgive a father? Do you need to forgive a sister, a brother, a friend, a boss? Who is in your life that you're bitter at? Hey, let's forgive them. Hey, are you bitter at God? Man, we can't forgive God if God didn't do anything wrong. But you could be bitter at God. You're not, yeah. Some of you, and I probably, to be honest, sometimes that's who we get bitter at the most. That we get bitter at the situation. And I'm not saying that like cold-hearted. Hey, it's tough. And it's tough. But if we're not careful, we can get bitter at God. I don't know what it is. But let me encourage you to repent of it. Repent of your bitterness. Oh, it's a sin like any other sin. And oh, it got devastating effects. Hey, let it go. I can tell you is God's yoke of forgiveness is much lighter than your yoke of bitterness. Bitterness is a heavy thing to carry around. But forgiveness, oh, it can be hard. Don't get me wrong. But it's much lighter. It's much lighter. So you know what, God? I'm going to let you handle this. And I'm going to go out and do something. So, on the fact that it's a sin, it's just a really good thing to do. It's going to benefit you. Hey, it's tempting to be bitter. It is. I'm not sidestepping that. And some of you I probably went through things that I never went through. And it may have been by the people that should have never been done, and by people who loved you. I mean, you may have got hurt as a kid, and an adult. I don't know. But here's the thing. It's tempting to be bitter. But the truth is, it doesn't change the fact that it's a sin. That's the thing. And that's why I think a lot of people won't say that. Because I'm like, well, I feel sorry for you. Yeah, I feel sorry for you too. But bitterness is still a sin. And you may have a right to be bitter in our eyes, but it's still a sin. Let's repent of that today. Let's replace the natural for the supernatural. And we stand on our feet with our hands bowed and eyes closed as Miss Tammy and Brenda come up just for a song of invitation. I think this is just like last week. I think that this is, I believe it's exactly what God wanted. God knew we were going to preach this. God knows where you're at. And I can only speak from my point of view, and then this is something just like my controlling my tongue. This is something that I know in my own life is a weakness and a sin, and something that I'll be honest with you. I should have saw it, but I didn't really see it until I defined what bitterness was. That's me. Hey, isn't that you too? Hey, and they begin to play. Hey, respond. I know you can do it, and I know you can pray at home. And if you know something about God's people humbling, I think at the altar together, something to it. We used to do it back in the day. Hey, and God is speaking to you. Don't put it off. Hey, come down here. Talk to God about it. Hey, ask God to help you. Hey, it's not easy. It is supernatural. You're going to need the Holy Spirit's strength to do it. We're going to play through a few times. God spoke to you. I want you to talk to him.